You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Rouge, White, and Blue podcast. My name is Joe Pritchard, and with me is Dr. Rouge Anthony Moretti. Doctor, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday, and obviously, you know, whether you're a fan of the Blue Bombers or a fan of the CFL, you're keeping your fingers crossed that the news we get, whenever we get it, about Matt Nichols is positive. Certainly that threw a gigantic roadblock in the excitement of the preseason, the excitement of, you know, the regular season starting in a little more than a week. Again, hopefully that injury, that whatever it is to Nichols, is not as serious as I think a lot of us fear. Certainly what a bummer this close to the start of the CFL regular season.
Oof. Yeah, I'm doing, as the resident Bomber fan of the podcast, I'm doing my very best to channel my inner Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the big red ladders going, don't panic. It's not very easy, though, but no. I'm doing my very best. Of course, if you're listening to you're going to be listening to this most likely on Thursday, Friday, or maybe even into the weekend. And you may have more information at this point from Matt Nichols, but we were able to get Darren Bauming on the show tonight for a few minutes to talk about what is going on and how the Bombers may proceed from here in making any sort of announcement. So let's just go ahead and get right to that. That's the core of the show at this point, so let's just go ahead and roll with that, and we'll be right back here on the Rouge, White, and Blue.
You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Matt Nichols, we're all wondering and hoping for the best for sure, but I think that's more just a human feeling than one from a journalist and a broadcaster myself. We just hope for the best for Matt and his family, but also just hoping more information eventually comes to the surface here in the early going.
Darren, you know, one thing that you certainly know when you hang around a team is that, you know, body language can say an awful lot when facts sort of aren't either public or aren't confirmed. I'm just curious, as you hung around the players today, body language, I'm guessing, was probably a little bit of this can't be real to what just happened to uh-oh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're on the right wavelength. What I found really, or at least what stood out to me the most when Matt Nichols went down with the injury, and he kind of just, you know, drop back to pass in a 12-on-12 drill. It was offense versus defense late in practice, just a few minutes left in their scheduled time. And, just planted to throw the football and then rolled down onto the ground, onto his back, and grabbed his right knee. I saw it happen. Really kind of cruelly ironic, right as TSN's Dave Naylor is sitting next to me. And, catching up with him, hadn't seen him since CFL week. And at the moment, he's asking me about the Blue Bombers' number two quarterback, training camp battle. At that exact moment, we saw Matt Nichols go down to the turf, and something nobody here in Winnipeg or Manitoba or really even in the CFL wants to see. But what really stood out to me at that moment, besides that cruel irony of that exchange between Dave and myself, was just the absolute silence on the football field from, you know, 90-plus players, you know, over a dozen coaches and coaching staff and dozens of fans and media in the stands. You could hear a pin drop in the expensive, inside of Investors Group Field. And I think that spoke volumes. After practice, we got an opportunity to talk to some of those other players and get initial reaction. Nobody wanted to say too much because really they don't know. And the same went for the head coach. He doesn't know. It's early for him to express, you know, what his potential level of concern could be. I've listened to Blue Bombers president and CEO Wade Miller speak on our radio station, TSN 1290 in Winnipeg, later this afternoon following the incident in practice. And he was actually on to talk about professional soccer returning to Winnipeg with Valor FC being announced today here in the city of Winnipeg in the Canadian Premier League. But right at the end of the interview, of course, our hosts, being good broadcasters, had to ask about the good news of Valor FC being announced next to the scary, potentially bad news of Matt Nichols going down in practice. And, I didn't glean too much positive either from, Wade Miller's comments. So, of course, I find it extremely foolhardy and dangerous to speculate on any sort of injury, especially one to an important player like Matt Nichols how bad it could be. I'm going to err on the side of caution just as a journalist to say we have to wait and see. And, you know, I know fans out there already want to talk about what a contingency plan might be if Kyle Walters, their general manager, wants to pull a trade and maybe pull a McLeod Bethel Thompson out of Toronto or a quarterback out of Hamilton now that Johnny Football and Jeremiah Masoli are battling, or maybe call up Ed Hervey in BC and see if Travis Lule is attainable. The Blue Bombers have two first round draft picks in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to speculate at this point. I do know this: the Blue Bombers have walked through on Thursday and that final preseason game in Vancouver against the Lions on Friday. They then have the weekend off. So Monday morning when they hit the practice field, and then Monday afternoon when we get a chance to talk to Mike O'Shea, that's the earliest I expect to hear any sort of update on the potential health or potential injury of Matt Nichols.
Right, and they have to do their due diligence. They have to make sure that they have the correct information before they go letting everybody else know. And, of course, they need to make their own internal plans at that point, too. But you were talking to Dave Naylor about the backup quarterback situation when this yep. was going down. What are the in-house options for the Bombers right now?
So they have four quarterbacks in camp right now behind Matt Nichols on the depth chart. One was an undrafted dual citizen, Zach Mahoney. I can't remember exactly where he's from in the United States, but he is born and raised American, but has dual citizenship. So he's both Canadian and American citizen. He went to the University of Syracuse. Interesting story with Zach Mahoney is that he came from pretty much nothing, was a walk-on tryout player, went from fifth string all the way up to being their starting quarterback, had a heck of a game a couple years ago, I believe it was, where he threw for five touchdowns and ran for two more. Seven touchdown performance against Pitt, as he was a member of the Syracuse Orange. And, an interesting story there, of course, being a dual citizen and being a national designation, a Canadian designation in the Canadian Football League, but went undrafted in the 2018 CFL draft and has not really seen a lot of action as far as reps in practice through the first 2.5 weeks of Blue Bombers training camp. The three candidates that are tangible for the Blue Bombers right now are Alex Ross, a second-year player last year with the BC Lions, a couple spot duty moments. He's only thrown 12 passes in professional football in regular season games. Chris Strebler, a true rookie straight out of the University of South Dakota, a really intriguing, big-bodied, big-arm prospect who had a heck of a pro debut back on Friday in Winnipeg's first preseason game, going 10 for 10 passing for 140 yards through an 80-yard touchdown strike to Miles White. ran for 37 yards, which he does extremely well. Very good runner for a guy who's 6'3", 220-plus pounds, but fumbled. Maybe got a little bit overzealous, a little overexcited in his first pro game, and had a ball run away from him or get away from him on a longer run. And then the third prospect they have right now or potential quarterback on their depth chart is Brian Bennett. A couple years in the CFL, you'd call it maybe a cup of coffee with Winnipeg in a practice roster capacity in 2016. Last year with the Saskatchewan Roughriders before being released, he's played in a couple of those upstart spring leagues, including the Your Call Football League in Vero Beach, Florida. He suffered a lower body injury in early May, so he came to Winnipeg, worked out a little bit through that injury, and then worked out for the team before they decided to sign him. He's only been on the field for 3 or 4 days now, but he is somebody I know they want to get a good look at Friday night in Vancouver. So Alex Ross, Chris Streveler, and Brian Bennett, three very different quarterbacks and three very different experience levels in professional football. Those are the three that they're going to get a good look at on Friday.
And then you talked about the coaching staff being available to the local media who don't travel to Vancouver for the game. Is there any sense that you got today, and again, we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday, any sense that you got today that anybody from the front office would be available Thursday or Friday if some clear determination about Matt Nichols' injury becomes obvious at that point?
Yeah, just based on historical precedents, I've covered this team on a daily basis for the last 6 years, and in some capacity for the last 8 seasons since that 2011 season where that Swaggerville defense and Buck Pierce took this team to a Grey Cup game and then lost in Vancouver to the hometown Lions. But just based on that historical precedent, how they handle their business in these circumstances, I don't expect any update, good news or bad news, until Monday. Because if it's good news, they're going to wait. They're going to wait to make sure that everything is in order, that Matt is fully healthy, and that those positive signs are showing through day to day. If it's bad news, they're also not going to come out and let anybody know because, well, hey, professional sports and professional football is a business. Here we are with the regular season just over a week away. It kicks off here in Winnipeg, coincidentally, against the Edmonton Eskimos on Thursday, June 14th. They're still trying to sell season tickets. They're still trying to generate interest and excitement and ramp everything up to that season starting. So I don't expect an announcement one way or another. The other thing, too, is you talk about people inside the Blue Bombers management. Again, another way they handle business, it's Mike O'Shea and Mike O'Shea only when it comes to speaking for this team. No assistants too often are made available. Kyle Walters made available pretty sparingly as well, only really when we're required. So unfortunately for CFL fans, for Blue Bomber fans wanting more information on Matt Nichols, well, they're going to be nibbling their lip and grinding their teeth a little bit through the weekend before we get any sort of information.
Just one last quick question for me, and I don't know if Joe will have one then to wrap it up. And Darren, we appreciate you joining us on obviously a very busy Wednesday for you. Was the team at all interested in trying to trade for a quarterback prior to today? In other words, if a trade comes down over the next 24 to 96 hours, I guess, should we necessarily read anything into Matt Nichols getting hurt today?
Well, I think you could, because I just know this. 2 weeks ago when Blue Bombers camp kicked off May 20th, 2.5 weeks ago, I guess we're here in day 19 on Wednesday, or day 18 rather, sorry. The days add up quick, of course, when you're there every day. But I was led to believe early in training camp that the Blue Bombers would not seek out a veteran option at quarterback. They were comfortable with Alex Ross, Chris Streveler, and Zach Mahoney at that time. They brought in Brian Bennett. Maybe that's why they were comfortable. Another quarterback that has a lot of athleticism, a lot of physical tools, a very nice arm on Brian Bennett as well. If a trade is made, yeah, I think you probably can read into it that it's reactionary to a potential injury in Matt Nichols. But again, guys, just the responsible way I like to handle it is just by erring on the side of caution when when it comes to that. But yeah, of course, people want to know. People are hungry right now because they're pining for football. They're champing at the bit to get into the day to day of the CFL season because it's an exciting league and I love it just like the fans do and you guys I'm sure do as well. I grew up a football guy and I love it and I'm always seeking information. I think that's why you know I find myself as a day to day football reporter today because of that hunger for the game and for information. People are going to be curious. They're going to want to talk about it, but you know, again, I don't expect any trade to come down in the you know between 24 and 96 hours, as you mentioned, Doc. Because you know, right now, I think teams are still trying to figure out their own rosters and their final preseason games before they got to start making cuts through the weekend and early in the week ahead of that season kicking off on June 14th.
Well, Darren, we definitely appreciate you taking time out of your rather busy schedule. Thanks for joining us on short notice, and hopefully we can give you a call at some point in the future, maybe during a more pleasant news cycle for the Bombers.
Absolutely. You know, it was a busy day, but, you know, I enjoy talking with you guys. You know, feel free to call me anytime. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you guys enjoy the season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Darren. You take care, huh?
You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
We're back here, okay. And we're back with the Rouge, White, and Blue. That was a great interview we had with Darren. Of course, like I said at the end, be nice to be, have it under happier circumstances for Bomber fans, but, well, here we are.
Yeah, you know, and having spent a sizable number of my pre-academic years in the sports journalism world, you know, the reason I asked him that question right off the top about, you know, body language and what people were feeling and thinking and all of that is, you know, a lot of times within or inside a locker room, guys will say, you know, this is not good. And I know this is not good or this is nothing to worry about, you know, whatever the case might be. And just last week on this podcast, we were joking about, you know, if there's one team that's going to come up short in the West or at least not meet expectations, you know, it's Winnipeg is a little bit like Eeyore. You know, it's not going to work. It's going to go wrong. Something's going to go haywire. None of us, of course, expected this, but you know, I think that's going to be a very difficult preseason game for all of those guys on Friday, especially if there is any sort of clarity between now and then about the injury. But, you know, in terms of Darren, you know, I what struck me was that moment where he and Dave Naylor, and we've got something else about Dave Naylor to talk about in a few minutes, but good news, by the way. And you know, to have him literally sitting next to him in the press box and ask, so by the way, who's likely to be the number two quarterback on this team? And within seconds, you know, this happens to Matt Nichols. You know, almost a cruel joke.
I'm trying to find the right words here.
Well, you know, let's face it. I mean, you're a fan of that team, and because you are a fan of that team, you know, sure, this hurts you, so to speak, if it turns out to be a serious injury. You know, this hurts you in a way that, you know, somebody who's a fan of a different team is going to react differently. There's no question about that. You know, your heart's in this much more than, you know, a no disrespect to Rough Rider fans, but obviously Rough Rider fans are not going to feel the same sort of angst about this. And yet three seasons ago, it was Darian Durant, as we were talking about last week on the show, you know, first game of the season, steps back to throw a pass, blows out his Achilles,
And, you know, for basically his career was done that night. I don't think anybody knew it at the time, but his career was basically done that night. I'm a little more optimistic if this is a serious injury to Matt Nichols that he will bounce back. I'm not saying that knee injuries are something to jump up and down about and go, hey, no problem. But, you know, medical science being what it is today would suggest that, you know, much like that old show, The $6 Million Man, we can build him maybe not necessarily bigger, stronger, or faster than he was before, but at least as he was before.
Yep, and we're just holding our breath, hoping that we don't have to rebuild him, because, mm-hmm. well, beyond the obvious that this would be the second ACL injury to that same knee, this Bombers team is set for a run this year. Think of all the players they have getting up there in the terms of football. Andrew Harris is up there, you have Adarius Bowman, Weston Dressler, Adam Big Hill, just to name a few of players that are ready to make that one of their last runs at a Grey Cup. And if you take out Nichols, who's the centerpiece of that offense, he's the one that has to direct the traffic, that run, I mean, it's not like it can't happen. It's just a lot less likely to happen now at this point.
Well, and especially because, as you and I have talked about over the last couple of weeks, the Western Division being what it is, you know, we've joked that the division champion might have 12 wins and the fifth place team might have 9. But the reality is that if all of those teams have all of their pieces together, you could see that kind of balance or that kind of, you know, a close race. And you take one significant piece out of that puzzle, and then obviously, you know, it's not going to the margin for error, which seems slight to begin with, seems as if it's gone out the door completely. But, you know, you said something that does make you go, oh, boy. And that is that this is not the first time Nichols has had. Again, if this turns out to be a major knee injury, this is not the first time that has happened. You know, and I think if you're looking for optimism, and I'm saying across the league, not just you as a Blue Bombers fan. You know, if you're looking for optimism, just look at what happened last week in Ottawa when, you know, I think it was the fifth pass, if I remember right, that Trevor Harris threw. And he got went down, was clutching his knee. And I think everybody at that moment thought, oh, brother, he's gone for the season. It looked like a terrible, terrible injury. And by the second half, he was on the sideline, granted in street clothes, and was riding one of the stationary bikes in the second half. He was not going to play in the Red Blacks' final preseason game anyway, and they happened to have the first week bye. So, you know, he's got 2 weeks to use rehab to the degree he needs to, you know, use the bike to remain flexible and to get some strength and that sort of thing. But that was one of those injuries.
If you think about it, though, opening kickoff is June the 14th, so it's more like 1 week.
Only 1 week, and that's the thing. Even if you're optimistic, you say, oh boy, you know, this is right around the corner for, you know, for the Blue Bombers and for the entire league. Darren is right. I mean, we're in that awful let's wait until we get something official period, and it's obviously, you and I spent some time on Wednesday checking out social media, and certainly there was all sorts of, they should trade for this guy, and they should trade for... Well, you know, the reality is that, you know, the other eight teams or the other eight general managers, if they take Kyle Walters' call, are not just going to say, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a quarterback for a, you know, a couple of flat footballs. No, you're talking about a main piece to a puzzle. Darren's point about the Blue Bombers having two number one draft picks next year could become important. But again, we're in that awful waiting period, and in that waiting period, speculation runs rampant. And obviously people want to see a solution. They want to see an answer. And there is that belief that, okay, fine, if it's not Nichols, then tell me who it's going to be right now. And the reality is that it's, if it's not Nichols, we don't know who it's going to be right now.
And to be fair, they may not know. They're going to take every last second they have to make that decision. They've got the preseason game to go. They've got a few more practices to go before they have to name somebody. They might not... They don't really have to name anybody until they show up on the field for their first offensive possession. And even then, the second possession could be the next guy up. So they really don't have to sit there and go, hey, everybody, by the way, it's this person. We're just going to have to get, we're just going to have to take it as it comes slowly.
Well, yeah, one, and that's
just
both
let it
the...
come and.
And go. Do ours. You know, that's both. That's both the wonderful thing and the frustrating thing about the shortened training camps. You know, you're talking about a training camp of basically 21 days before you get into the mode of the regular season. You know, if this had happened 2 weeks ago, would we have said, "Oh, sure, we got an answer"? Yeah, we'd have an answer right now. But the reality is, the Blue Bombers, if this is a major injury, the Blue Bombers would still be going into the season wondering, all right, is this guy really going to be the one who's going to replace, you know, Matt Nichols for 5 games, 10 games, a full season? You know, we just don't know at this point. And, you know, a friend of mine has a saying, which is hope for the best and plan for the worst. And, you know, this is one of those scenarios where you definitely hope for the best because, you know, Matt Nichols is one of those good guys in a league full of a lot of good guys. But you also face the reality that, okay, if something has to be done, what's going to be done?
Right. My last word on the subject then is Kyle Walters, Wade Miller, and Mike O'Shea have earned Bomber fans' trust with how they've been able to bring this franchise back to life. Let's just all remember that as we go forward. Doctor, you said you had some good news for me. Let's hear it.
Well, you know, I think it just it got lost in all of the news, obviously, of today about Matt Nichols. But the aforementioned Dave Naylor from TSN mentioned in a tweet on Wednesday morning that the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, was meeting with province and city officials in Moncton, and I don't know if it's a 1 day or a 2 day series of meetings, but one of the items that Naylor reported was on the table was the potential for this new team, whether it be called the Atlantic somethings or the Halifax somethings, but playing as many home games as necessary in Moncton before any stadium is built and ready to go in Halifax. My immediate reaction to that is, holy cow, if all of those pieces come together, you could be looking realistically at a 10th team joining this league at least one, if not up to 3 years sooner than anyone expected.
Yeah, absolutely. From the sounds of that, that tells me that if he's talking about that, that the ownership group out there has some serious bona fides. So there's something.
There's
smoke.
Something there. I agree.
There's no fire yet, and I'm not going to believe it until it's announced fully. But if he's making that, if he's asking those kinds of questions in that environment, maybe there
then
is
something.
Then there's something
there to be said. I agree. You know, if it were merely you know, hey, some guy on social media who says, hey, I saw Randy Ambrosi in Moncton on Wednesday. Yeah, okay, maybe. But, you know, this is Dave Naylor who knows what the heck he's talking about. And that would be, you know, quite the story if we see the 10th team, you know, sooner rather than later. And again, when all those details get ironed out, if they get ironed out, you know, I think you and I are in agreement. It would be a great day for the Canadian Football League, great day for Canada, great day for, you know, Atlanta, Canada, especially to see that 10th team, you know, come on board.
Yeah, that would be a very, very big day for the league. Something that has been looked forward to for 30 plus years now. So we shall see if it ever does come to fruition, but every sign we're seeing lately is showing that it's at least under consideration.
Good news. Would certainly be good news. We should mention that if folks are listening to the podcast tonight, if it sounds a little tinny, we've been having some audio glitches that we have been trying to work through. So if either Joe or I sound a little not like ourselves, it's besides the fact that we're, you know, again, hoping for great news out of Winnipeg. Our audio, what's that saying? Technical difficulties, please stand by. So we have been powering through, I guess, on this podcast.
Yeah, that's one of the joys of what we're doing here. But if they have been listening this far, I'm sure that they're okay with it and we're glad to come along for the ride. Doc, you got anything more for the people, or should I go over into the corner and sulk a little bit more?
Well, you know, I would say this, and I don't say this to be flippant, you know, I say it to be serious. You know, he's still 6 months, right? He's not 7 months yet?
He will turn 7 months on opening day of the CFL season.
Nice. See, so you know what you gotta do is do a big, you know, dad and little man day tomorrow or Friday, whatever the case might be. Yeah, this you know, the Matt Nichols situation could change the entire scope of how this CFL season turns out. But, you know, the reality also is that, you know, Matt Nichols still will be able to see his family. You know, this is not something that is catastrophic, end of the world, you know, kind of thing. This is a horrible injury, maybe, that no player we want to see go through. But, you know, I certainly understand the frustration, you know, especially you and I talked about this, the fact that take away those injuries towards the end of last season and the Bombers were right there. They were right there. They could have beaten Edmonton. They could have gone into Calgary and maybe beaten Calgary as well and gotten to the Grey Cup. Obviously, we'll never know because of the injuries that were suffered. But, boy, if Nichols is indeed gone for a lengthy period of time, oh, that's just not right.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Somehow I didn't think you would.
All right. Well, before I sulk on air any further, let's wrap this one up. Put a bow on it. We'll be back next week and finally, hopefully, give our predictions on the season, which, you know, may or may not have changed dramatically from what we had just, you know, 12 hours ago. But we'll get that put together here and talk CFL season next week. So for Dr. Moretti, my name is Joe Pritchard. You've been listening to the Rouge, White, and Blue podcast.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.